Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study, our book of Joshua. Joshua in the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua, and in the Greek tongue, Jesus, in the English tongue, Jesus. So, Yahweh's Savior. So, we have a type here of the Savior, but also this Savior taking us into the promised land. After wandering 40 years in the wilderness, going into the promised land, it is a type of the Savior taking us into the promised land, meaning the millennium. So it's something you want to pay attention to. We have observed our Father bringing forth one judgment day when he judged Achan and his family. We have seen types, if you would, of God controlling, God bringing down hailstones just as he will at Armageddon on our enemies, on the enemies of God, I should say. And these types of exactly how it's going down. Now we get into some repetition. The lecture after this, I'm going to take, rather than reading about four or five chapters of land allotment, I'm simply going to take a map and show you the land allotment for the tribes, where they were located, and so forth, and make it a lot easier, giving you a visual rather than going through measurements and so forth on land allotment. So, having said that, chapter 11, again, as we're preparing for that, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard these things, that he sent to Jabab, king of Madan, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Achsoph." And in other words, he's putting together an army again, all right? While Joshua was supposed to be cleaning out the Holy Land, so to speak, that is to say, the promised land that God promised Israel, verse 2, "and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plain south of Chinneroth, and in the valley and in the borders of Dor on the west." Now, Chinneroth, many of you would know as Gennesaret, the lake and the place that Jesus liked to go so often at Gennesaret, only hear the Hebrew spelling Cinneroth. Verse 3, "And to the Canaanite," now this is not Kenite, K-E-N-I-T, this is Canaanite, "on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and to the Hittite, and the Perizzite," this is where there was still a few of the old giants around and intermixed, "and the Jebusite in the mountains," and of course the Jebusite would be they that form Jebus, which is to say Jerusalem, "and to the Hivite, and under Hermon in the land of Mizpah." So here again, we have quite a few people. And verse 4, "And they went out, they and all their host with them," the host means their whole army, "much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore is multiplied, with horses and chariots, very many." It was a large army. And they're going to come against Joshua. Now, there's one thing I want you to remember from the book of Joshua. You and our Heavenly Father make a majority. I'm going to say it one more time. You, as one individual, and Almighty God, make a majority if God's will is in it. So, when God fights for His people, this is one reason this great nation never loses a battle. Many might thought we lost Korea and Nam. No, we broke communism's back. It just basically doesn't exist any longer. Can't withstand God's protection of His people in operation. So here they are. I mean, they've got horses, they've got chariots, men of war, like the sands of the sea. They're covered everywhere. Verse 5, "And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom," that's the high place, "to fight against Israel." Verse 6, listen carefully. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, For tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hoe their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Hoe is an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it means to cut the hamstring, which is cruel. That's bad business, but they're never going to run again. Okay, verse 7. So Joshua came, and this was God's command. God wanted these. Never try to judge our Father as being cruel. He is righteous, and there is a right reason for this request. Verse 7. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom, suddenly, and they fell upon them. I mean, they attacked unexpectedly. They were ready to go. All right. Verse 8. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Misrephothaim, that's to say Misrephothaim, which is to say the flow of the waters. There were a lot of springs here. Why such a long name? And into the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left them none remaining. Our Father is able, and our Father produces. This is why you want to always bring him into the equation of your life. To leave him out of your life is to look for trouble, big trouble. Okay. God's elect, our Father truly loves, and he expects you to return that love if you want his blessings. And if you have his blessings, you're blessed indeed. You're prosperous, successful. And many people say, well, you mean no problems ever come? Oh, problems will come, but you can cut it. If you got God with you, problems are nothing. You know, a little exercise before breakfast, all right? You don't want to be one of these poor me babies that sit back and think, well, if I love Jesus, everything will be smooth and sailing. Well, they crucified him. Okay. Satan kind of has a lot of control in this world at this time. And you, in Christ's name, have power over him. But you got to use it. You got to be hoss enough to stand up and use it. Use that name of Jesus Christ and know when it's too rough for everybody else, hey, bring it on. It's just right for us. We're can-do type people. We're children of God. So with God's help, you've got the victory. This has nothing to do. God's children are always compassionate. They like to get along. They communicate. And anyone that can't get along with them will have a problem. Verse 9. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him, exactly as God told him. He hoed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. He destroyed their army. Okay. Verse 10. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor. Here's the head dog, okay. And smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor, before time, was the head of all those kingdoms. I mean, he was the high muckety duck. And getting him out of the way first, good show. All right, way to go. So this would weaken them tremendously. There was always trouble in taking the land, little tidbits here and little cities there and so on and so forth that would always have to be reckoned with. But basically, we're going to fix it so they can live at peace, all right, in the promised land. Just as when we enter the millennium on that first day, every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and this being the type thereof, God in charge, God in control. Verse 11, and they smote all the souls, nephesh, that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. He destroyed the enemy. Okay. Verse 12. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take. and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Moses commanded this? No, God commanded Moses, and then Moses passed on the order. Now, let's say a word about our Father's righteousness. Why would he slay all these people? They were bad. There is no way that they could follow God and live with God with these other religions, other forms of worship, and so forth, giants, hybrids around. They had to be destroyed. Now, how does Father look upon this? And he mentions souls and breath, ruach, the breath of life, to get your attention. We know, where did Christ go the day he was crucified? The first place he went to paradise, to the opposite side of the gulf for those that had not made it. And he preached to those in captivity. And many of them believed. I have to believe some of these were there. And I have to know that God, through the millennium, the very promised land that we're having a type of here, when we get in that millennium, there's going to be a lot of teaching going on of people that never had an opportunity to learn the truth. And at the second resurrection, that's to say at the end of the millennium, for those who choose to follow God instead of Satan, they'll overcome. So our Father knows exactly what he's doing. And again, don't you ever, ever accuse him of not being righteous, because he is. Verse 13. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. Those that stood in their own strength, minded their own business, and so forth. 14. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man that smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. Again, breath, the breath of life, nephesh, and ruach, the holy, the spirit. Verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant. Who did this? Who gave the command? Almighty God gave the command to Moses his servant. So did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Not one thing, and not one word was left out. And that's why that God continues passing his word on to you. That's why God continues passing his commandments on to you. That's why he sent you this letter, whereby you know what goes down and how it goes down, how to make a stand, and when you follow him, why you have his blessings. God truly blessed Joshua and those that were with him. Verse 16. So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same. This land will be broken down into allotments, and I will, by map, by picture, explain it to you. 17. Even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad, that's Baal worship, so you should know and understand that, in the valley of Lebanon, right up all the way north up to Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. He cleaned house. Okay. And Baal worship was done away with. Many people today allow false teachings to work into their family. You shouldn't do that. It's called the accursed thing by Almighty God himself. And you do not want to partake of Baal worship of any kind. That's babble, confusion. But the clarity and the simplicity in which Christ teaches, in which our Father teaches, that you do. Verse 18, Joshua made war a long time with all these kings. Wars are usually never easy. They're easier when God helps you. But it was long, and it was a large area, and they were cleaning it up. Verse 19, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel. Uh-oh, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, all other they took in battle. In other words, the Gibeonites lied to them, told them they were from a far country, and here they are chopping wood for God's altar in the name of Nethinim. What a fantastic thing that Joshua took care of everything right down, but there's one thing he did not consult God about, and that's whether he should make a covenant or a contract with the Gibeonites and the Hivites. And certainly now he must guarantee their salvation. And in the point, you see the name Savior coming back into this, because he did save them. He saved them from their enemy even. But here they are beginning to serve the preachers, and the preachers get a little lazy when they have people that just really wait on them hand and foot. And they begin to let them even do some of the teaching, because as Ezra, as I told you in a lecture two or three back, when Ezra went to rebuild Jerusalem, chapter 8, verse 15, he took inventory to see how many Levitical priests were with him. There was zippo, none, not one. There were all these robed servants, Nethinim, weren't even Israelites. That's how false teaching can work into serving God, if you're not real careful, my friend. It's a very serious thing. To change God's truth into a lie is an abomination. So stick with the truth, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Let God speak, and let traditions of man that make void the word of God fall by the wayside. Verse 20, to continue. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And so it is. And this was, you had a second influx of the giants that God had already taken care of them, but there will be a second influx. You're always going to have some problems, but God will always give you the strength, the power, the knowledge, the wisdom to overcome, to be a winner. Verse 21, and at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims. Anakims means long neck. I mean, they were giants. Okay. From the mountains, from Hebron, or Hebron, as some pronounce, from Debir, that's sanctuary, not yours. Okay, not your sanctuary. From Anab, and of course, Anab means grape town. It seems like those giants really like grapes. They like to tromp them, I guess. And from all the mountains of Judah and from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And this is what really upset our father, because of the hybrids, you understand? This is something that God will not tolerate. Verse 22. There was none of the Anakims, this is long-necked, the giant, left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath. And Gath means wine press, okay? And in Ashdod, there remained. In other words, you still had, even in this Ashdod, which means stronghold or fortified, they were still there. Again, though, when God gives us authority and power over all of our enemies, you don't have to worry about that. Not even would they have to worry about a second influx. Okay, it's to maybe it's like God keeping us sharp giving us a challenge. I don't know. God wants you to depend on Him. God wants you to love Him. Your Heavenly Father wants to help you when you need help, but you got to ask Him. Okay. And let me tell you something else. Well, before we move on here, when God knew that Achan was the one that took of the accursed thing, false religion, why didn't God just zap him? I mean, God knew which family it was that partook of that Babylonian priest robe and was practicing false religion. He knew which house it was. And He allowed Israel just to go down the tube at Ai. They took a bad thumping because of that. Why? God wasn't with them. Why didn't God clean the house? Because He expects you to do it. He expects you to clean up your own mess. He expects you to throw and cast false teachings out of your family. He gives you the truth. He lets you know what false teachings is. And if you accept it, hey, poor you. He expects you to take care of business, to take care of family, and to see that your family has the real truth instead of a bunch of malarkey. Okay, false teachings, misleadings. So here we are with the old giant country, Gath and down in there. Zidon has been mentioned. That's Sidon to you today. It means fishery in the Greek or Hebrew, fishing town. And it was just a few hundred yards from Tyrus, where the great shipping for the Kenites took place. Verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Listen to that carefully. According to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions, tribes, by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Finally. But they've still got trouble out there. Don't ever let your guard down. But here, we've got Reuben, we've got Gad, and we have a half tribe of Manasseh that have been the spearheaders of the war, if you would, because all the others helped them take their land on the east side of Jordan. Now, they had to come over and spearhead to take all this land for the rest of the tribes. Joshua was going to send them home. They've been away from home a long time. They've been fighting this fight. And through this, ultimately, as you're going to find in a lecture or so hence, when you split families up and they don't communicate, trouble can happen. Did you hear what I said? When they don't communicate, you've got to communicate and let people know you love the Father and that you love them. And if you do something, explain it. And do it God's way. Okay, so here we are. We arrive. Let's go a few verses into chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote, and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun. Where's that? East. From the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon, and all the plain on the east. And this is where half-tribe Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben, that those tribes would live, okay? 2. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroah, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. That's to say, Lot's sons by his own daughters, of his own father, being translated. Verse 3. And from the plain to the sea of Chinneroth, which is Genesaret, the place Jesus was so loved so much, on the east, and into the sea of the plain, even to the salt sea, or the Dead Sea, on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, which is to say the house of the desert, and from the south unto Ashdod Pisgah, in verse 4, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, which is a stronghold. But here we have a repetition of all this battle, and again, it is repetition. I'm going to go another verse or so here, and then we're just going to go all the way down to chapter 13 here. Verse 5, and reigned in Mount Hermon and in Shalkot and in all Bashan unto the border of Geshurites and the Maacathites and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Now, I want to just have the character generator roll right on down to chapter 13, verse 1, as we're talking here. Go all the way on down. We're going to pick it up with chapter. This is repetition. You can read it for yourself. But in the next lecture, I'm going to cover it by map, and it will be much easier understood. And you will enjoy that, and you will totally and completely understand. The ultimate is this. God's in charge. Always do it His way. That's what's very important. Always do it God's way. Okay, chapter 13, verse 1. Let's go with it. And it reads, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Well, we've got a lot of work to do here. Verse 2, this is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all of Geshurah, that's to say the bridge. Verse 3, from Sihor, that's dark, which is before Egypt, even as the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, and Gazerathites, and Ashdothites, and Escalonites, and Gittites, and Ekronites, and the Avites. And so here we go again with this clearing of the place. Verse 4, from the south all the land of the Canaanites and Moriah and is beside the Sidonians, that's where Zidon would be today, and unto Aphek to the border of the Amorites. And what we're doing here, we're giving a description of the land that God will give to the 12 tribes, okay, their allotment. And that's what we will take up in the next lecture, is the layout of that particular land. Verse 5, and the land of the Gibeites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, that would be up north, which would be given to Dan, all the way back over to the sun, which sun rising is what? East, of course. From Baal Gad, that's where they worship Baal, under Mount Hermon, unto the entering into Hamath. Now, there is something very special about Hamath. And the secret and the riddle, the answer to it, you find in the 14th verse of Amos chapter 6, that Israel would have trouble when they allowed Hamath, which is the father of the Kenites, to enter in, which it would say they are neither people of the night or day, which the word in the Hebrew is Arabia, neither dark nor neither light. Okay, that this is where the trouble would begin for Israel. What? Well, it wasn't even back as you will read in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, the Kenites are keeping books for Judah. I mean, literally, they're the scribes. They're doing the work, the writings, the bookkeeping for Judah. This is bad. This is very bad. And this is why our Father wanted it cleansed. This is why our Father expects you to take care of business. This is why our Father gives you the truth, and He expects you to hang on to it. So as it is written there, it would seem that our people are always, as they were anxious to take in those of Gibeah, they came in with a sad story. Oh, we've traveled for miles and miles and miles. Our heart is right. We're good people. We have compassion on everyone. Bunch of liars. And poor old Joshua, without even talking to God, took them in. And now they're kind of doing altar work for him. You see, you could never let your guard down as far as our Father's word is concerned. You sail your own ship. On Judgment Day, how many people are going to be between you and God? Nobody. So you're going to answer for yourself. You can't start blaming other people. It's their fault here or there. No, it's your fault. You did it. You listened to who? Maybe wrong people. But that's no excuse. You shouldn't know better than to listen to wrong people. When your Father sent you this letter, and this letter entailing the very allotment itself, how you can protect yourself, that applies spiritually as well, and we will make it spiritual. And when we do enter that promised land during the millennium, it will be much on this accord. Don't miss that next lecture. We'll go into those allotments of the tribes where we displaced this long war. And they're in the Middle East. And those tribes were situated there. The house of Israel and the house of Judah. Okay, both houses would be founded there together. Those houses will split. They are split to this day. The house of Judah and the house of Israel are two separate houses. But as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 37, those houses they will take two sticks and join them back into one stick, and that house will be again the house of Israel when the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns to be commander in chief. It's going to happen. We're going to go into that promised land. Every knee will bow to Christ on that day. It won't at the end of that time, but that doesn't bow won't be with us any longer. So we won't have to worry about it. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The mark of